This is a show where the spirit has control.
Straight up no agenda.
So listen up close, get the medicine for your soul.
Straight up no agenda.
Telling you the truth is what we hear to do.
Straight up no agenda.
So come get all the blessings God got for you.
This podcast is meant for informational purposes only. It is not meant for any diagnosis or treatment of your current situation. If you have any questions, please consult your general practitioner. Thank you. Hello, guys. Welcome back to Straight Talk No Chaser. I'm the host, Pastor Marcus Bacar. We're sitting here today again in the midst of our health month. We have a very interesting person. I've been following him the past couple of months, just following him. He don't know I've been stalking him on Facebook and whatnot, but I've been checking him out, seeing what he's doing. He's doing some amazing things there in Puerto Rico. Welcome to the show with us, Dr. Asa.
Hello, Marcus. How you doing, Dr. Marcus?
Thanks, sir. I'm doing well, sir. We are glad you got some time. I forget if we're on the same time zone or not, so if you got to run, just let me know. It's about 12:17 here.
No, we're all the way down in the Caribbean, but the time is the same. About 12:15 right now.
Okay, cool. Okay. Well, thanks for taking your lunch up, I guess, with us today.
Not a problem. My pleasure. My pleasure.
Anytime I get a chance to sit down and talk with fellow colleagues, though, and seeing what everybody's doing, we all got the somewhat of the same basis, but we do things just a tad differently. And you do something that I don't find any of us have really tapped into the way you have. Tell us a little bit about what you do, and I want the people to be on pins and needles, so I'm not even gonna try to explain it. Dr. Asa, go right ahead.
Okay, so we have developed a residential health and education center in San Juan, Puerto Rico. So we say residential because the patients that we see actually live with us for anywhere between a week and, 2 months.
Wow.
And so it's a health and education center. We teach patients how to be healthy and how to address their specific health concerns. And we also, the vast majority of the patients that come and stay with us are participating in a water fasting program. Mm-hmm. It's a medically supervised water fasting program, which means that the patients that come and stay with us are supervised by the doctors on a daily basis. We supervise patients twice a day. We take blood and urine once a week. And the medical supervision is to ensure that the patients are progressing, but also to keep everybody safe and avoid any complications. The fasts that we do are of water, and they last from anywhere between 10 days and 40 days.
I've tried to explain this to some people. And they look at me dude, that's just not the way to go. But I've seen not only you, but other doctors have had success with this. Has this been received well?
Yes, actually it's getting extra. I mean, water fasting in general, fasting in general is a huge world that's getting extremely popular in social media. There's thousands of books on different types of fasting. The fasting that we do is what we call a true fast, which is a water-only fast. It's abstinence from all food or drink except for pure water in an environment of pure rest. So we encourage our patients to be resting. Activities that they can do at the center are things like stretching, maybe some gentle yoga, walking around the beautiful campus that we have here. But they can also take as much time as they want to do nothing. And we encourage that. We encourage patients to do some meditation, certainly incorporate prayer into their daily activities, anything that will bring them invite more presence into their life as well as into the program. And that includes, classical meditation, but also incorporating whatever allows them to connect, with their sort of deeper self, or the, their higher self, you could say, which includes prayer as well. Mm-hmm. So what we do is not, this is not a typical health center or wellness center. It's very focused on chronic disease reversal. We see the majority of the patients we see have hypertension, conditions that respond extremely well to fasting, which include high blood pressure, heart disease, certain types of cancers, diabetes, as well as many different autoimmune conditions. And you asked, the question was, has it been received well? I got to tell you, in the beginning, when I first started, practicing here and having a residential center and offering, water-only fasting and health education, most people were not really too excited about coming and staying with me for 2 or 3 weeks and not eating. Mm-hmm. But as we become sort of more popular on the island, as well as in Latin America, we see a lot of patients who actually come specifically for that type of modality. They have done their research already. They think that fasting is going to help them, and they wind up doing a virtual consult with me overseas, or they come to the clinic and they're actually ready to dive into fasting and adopting, healthier habits.
Now, you said they do like meetings like this with you. So everybody's not local to you. You got people flying in from all over?
We do. We see about 60% of the patients from patients who live on the island of Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. And the other 30% come from anywhere. They come from South America. They come from Central America. They come from the States. And from across the pond, they've come from overseas as well. A lot of patients we monitor whether they're here fasting or not fasting and doing, specific programs at home. We actually offer virtual consults. So, every day I could have a consult with somebody who's in Chile or somebody who's in Israel or somebody who's in Holland or something like that. So that's actually quite common.
That's amazing. That's a global practice. That's helping people all around the world. That's amazing, dude. Did you even imagine this would get to this point?
No, not really. I mean, my dream was something to that effect, but always, things turn out to be better than expected. Mm-hmm. And I guess after Hurricane Maria, which was about 4 years ago, this is 2017, I think. After Hurricane Maria, things started to get much more internet-based. And then we have this whole COVID-19 thing. And so people are getting used to doing things online and not being, in direct contact with that person. So that has made it, much, much more likable situation for patients to, even if they just live an hour away or an hour away and they don't want to drive to the visit, they'll call the office and say, I'm going to do a virtual consult today. I'm not going to be able to get into the office. And that's great because we can accommodate them in that situation. I really didn't think that it was going to get like this, where we're seeing patients all over the world. But like I said, everything just happens, a grade up than you expect it to.
Yes. Now, having known some of your background, this is for chiropractic, at what point did you look into fasting? Was it after or where you were in chiropractic school?
Well, I got to tell you, the first time I really heard about fasting was in Dr. Paul Goldberg's nutrition class. He was a fantastic professor. We're very lucky to have had him at Life University. And he didn't talk much about it, but alluded to utilizing that sort of modality in his practice. And at first, I really didn't think that I was going to be into that. As the years went on, and I guess I, before graduating school, I did decide that I needed to add something more than the adjustment practice, because I know there are conditions that don't completely resolve with just chiropractic care. And so I did, I went and talked to him, and him and, you know, my good friend, Dr. David Tedder, who I believe still works for, they work together at this point, a very smart young guy. And I asked them what they were doing, and, you know, he really didn't have time or wanted to explain to me what it was he was doing. So he gave me a referral to go do sort of an internship out at a place in California called True North Health Center, which is a very large health and education center where they focus on medically supervised fasting. There's medical doctors and chiropractors and osteopaths and naturopaths and nurses, and they hold about 50 patients at any given time. And so I went out there just to see what they're doing, see if, you know, that's something that I might be interested in. And the experience I had there was so incredible. Just the changes that I got to see there were just so incredible in terms of disease reversal, people getting off their insulin, you know, getting rid of their blood pressure medications, their psoriasis going away, their autoimmune conditions going into remission, tumors and cancers shrinking and disappearing. I was there for about 3 to 4 months, living on the clinic, doing rounds every day, monitoring every patient twice a day, you know, answering the phone, you know, dealing with all their complaints and, you know, fixing their food for them. And the staff there is just incredible. If anyone from the kitchen staff at True North Health Center in here, you know, thank you to Mauricio and to Augie and to everybody who works there. They were just incredible. The amount of people that go through that center, and you really don't realize what that the maintenance staff is really the heart of the operation. And I'm learning that now because I do everything. We do everything ourselves. And so I stayed there for 3 to 4 and got to watch people get better, you know, right in front of my eyes. You know, you get to check their blood pressure. You get to check their pulse. You get to check their skin. You get to see their labs every week. And after about 3 or 4 months, I had to call my wife, who's also a doctor of chiropractic. And she was back home with our youngest son, who was about a year old. And I convinced both of them to come and with us. So she actually came and did the internship with me, and we were there for another 6 months. And both got certified by the International Association of Hygienic Physicians, which is basically an association that certifies doctors for this type of work, medically supervised fasting. And so after that, there was really nothing that I could do apart from incorporate that into our practice. And since the safest, most effective way is to do fasting and that sort of thing in a inpatient setting where patients actually come and stay in a controlled environment, the goal, sort of the dream of ours, was to put together our own health, you know, residential health and education center that also offers a fasting program. I am a doctor of chiropractic. I do adjust patients. We do have, you know, an extensive chiropractic practice here. I certainly see less patients than a normal doctor of chiropractic would. It's certainly not a high volume practice. For instance, maybe I adjust 5 or 10 people a day. That's like a heavy day adjusting wise. But we do encourage that all the fasting patients utilize chiropractic care, and most of them do. And I find that the patients who do utilize the chiropractic care during their programs have much much deeper, extensive, lasting benefits.
Now, with the fasting, because I'll tell you a little bit about me, the part I know about fasting. I grew up with my father's Muslim, so we did Ramadan every year. And then I graduated to other religions, and they fast 30 days, 21 to 30 days a year, if not twice a year. And we've done the total fast. I've thrown total days in there. And I know having done on that third day, on that total fast of water, that's a whole nother, when you first kick it off that third day, there's a whole nother reaction that takes place in the body. What it did for me the very first time I did it. And I began to sneeze. I began to release my bowels. Everything was just happening. But it was a good, on that fourth day though, it was almost like walking on air. It was so relaxing. Everything was quiet. Everything was just, it was just there. Have you ever, I know you've done it. Have you ever, what was your experience when you did it?
I've done various fasts for 10, 14 days. And that's just to tell you that, you know, a very thin person mm-hmm. can also fast for an extended period of time. Mm-hmm. Body only needs about 1 calorie per kilogram per hour during fasting, as long as you're resting. Mm-hmm. So if you're thin, don't think that you're not a candidate for fasting. Most thin people have more than enough reserve to last them for at least a week or two.
Now, so the body can go a couple of days without food, because I know people tell me when I talk about fasting, like, dude, I can't go 24 hours without eating.
Yes, the body can last for a very extended periods without food. Mm-hmm. The longest documented fasts are actually for over a year. So there have been, I know of one case where a specific patient had did fast for more than 365 days. I believe it was 380 days.
Liquids only?
Water only. There were periods during his fast where he took small portions of juice, but most of it was water only. Mm-hmm. So there are various types of fasting. Some people use a juice fast, which is where you're just taking juice. Hopefully it's, you know, healthy juice, and it's not a, you know, liquefied burger and shake. Some people use a sustained fast, which is where they eat a specific type of food or group of food mm-hmm. For an extended period. That would be like, an example would be like, say if we just ate carrots and potatoes for a month or 2 months, that'd be considered a sustained fast. Mm-hmm. Many Ayurvedic practitioners use like a curative soup, like vegetable soup. Mm-hmm. Patients can also utilize a intermittent fast. Many people are using intermittent fasting. Mm-hmm. Of course, everybody fasts during the night. That's an intermittent fast. So all that means is that you sort of extend the period of physiological rest, digestive system rest in between our meals. And hopefully with intermittent fasting, you plan to eat when you do eat. You plan to eat a healthy meal, mm-hmm. One that's high in fruits and vegetables. The difference between those types of fasts and water fasting is that there is no food. So there's no source of calories. There's no source of minerals or electrolytes or nutrition coming in. It's just water, and there's no powders or potions or polvos added to that. Mm-hmm. And you will find, we find in the literature and we find here at the center, that the physiological changes that happen during water fasting are extremely unique to water fasting. So when you get rid of all of the carbohydrates coming in and the nutrition and the minerals and vitamins, then our body has to begin to rely on the reserve. So the fatty storage that we have, the mineral and vitamin storage that we have. And what we're finding is that it's that process of your body diving into the storage that allows the changes. So you said that, you know, you experienced some, right, some symptoms on the third day of fasting, right? Mm-hmm. There's some maybe bowel release. Many patients experience symptoms like nausea. Some patients vomit. There's reflux. There's a terrible smell in the mouth. There's a very sensitive, you get very sensitive smells. Patients also get extremely weak. Mm-hmm. You know, there's pain, headache, you know, many different types of symptoms happen during fasting. 99% of them are completely normal, as long as they're under supervision. Mm-hmm. And it's those very symptoms that are there in order to decrease the levels of toxin that we have in the body. We call that a curative crisis, un crisis curativa. And that crisis can happen at any point during fasting. It could happen on the third day, it could happen on the 14th day, but at some point, or at any point, it will happen. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing that you don't get when you do sort of a Ramadan fast or an intermittent fast, mm-hmm. or a juice fast, is you don't get the body really mounting a reaction, mm-hmm. to reorganize things, to reset the physiology and bring the body back into much more healthier homeostasis. So symptom-wise, when I fast, I got to tell you, in the beginning, when I wasn't really practicing an extremely healthy diet, mm-hmm. Yes, you get symptoms. You get reflux, you get nausea, sometimes you vomit, sometimes you have, you know, some diarrhea, there's sweating at night, body pain, headaches. And after I started practicing really good eating habits, going to bed on time, getting rid of alcohol, cigarettes, marijuana, starting a meditation practice, mm-hmm. As you live more healthfully, the fasts tend to be much more comfortable. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now when I fast, I feel great for the most part. Mm-hmm. Yes, I get very weak. So weakness is something inevitable. Mm-hmm. After about day 5, my energy is gone. And you have to pretend like you're 120 years old, and you just have to do things very slowly and sort of allow the weakness to be, if you will. You know, mm-hmm. a lot of people are uncomfortable with being without energy. And so we reach for some stimulative type of food or a cup of coffee or something to make us feel like we have energy. But the feeling of weakness is something that you should allow yourself to experience. And of course, you know, that's a sign to recover.
Mm-hmm. Now, that was going to be my next question, because we always tell people, if you're going to fast with the church, get ready. That means you started a couple of months out. You need to start preparing, because you walk into this, you walk into the fast on day one and said, I'm not eating. By noon, you're passing out headaches, you're cranky, you don't know what to do, your brain is foggy, you don't know what to do. So
that's right.
It's good to prepare.
We absolutely recommend that everybody prepare for fasting. A few months is a good time frame. Mm-hmm. I'll give you an example. Once in a while, we get a patient who wants to have their, you know, their last hurrah, if you will. Mm-hmm. You know, they're the day before fasting, they have their last meal. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they eat the cheeseburgers and the chicken sandwiches, and they eat their fried foods, and they eat a pint of ice cream. And all you end up doing is forcing your body for the first three or four days, your body is really just going to detoxify from that meal that you just ate. So number one, you won't feel very good. You're going to have a lot of symptoms, but number two is that you're kind of wasting the first 3 days of your fast there. So if you want to allow your fast to be, its most effective, yes, you start preparing months ahead of time. You diminish or eliminate the amount of animal products in your diet. You start going to bed on time. You stop drinking wine and beer every night. You get rid of cigarettes and you really augment or raise the amount of fresh fruits and vegetables in your diet. Mm-hmm. And so if you have those fresh fruits and vegetables running through your intestines and running through your bloodstream, when you enter into a fast, the reserve is there. So your body is really prepared to spend a little bit of time without food.
Mm-hmm. No, because I've read some of the amazing stories that have taken place. Can you share with us, I know you can't mention names, but can you share with some of the amazing things you've seen? Because I saw one you posted 3 days ago, diabetes. I think she had diabetes, maybe hypertension, and then something else. And I think that's amazing. People, they tell you you can't recover from this stuff. Once you get on meds, you're stuck. And so share with the people some things you've seen.
Okay. I'll share one and then I'll explain what happened in that case that you just read. We posted a few days ago.
Okay.
We have many diabetic patients that come in. Diabetes is a condition that responds extremely well to fasting. Mm-hmm. Diabetes, the main cause of type 2 diabetes is insulin resistance, right? The cells no longer respond to mm-hmm. the insulin. And so the insulin that we are still making just doesn't have an effect on our muscles and on our tissues. And so during fasting, insulin resistance diminishes dramatically. So our cells actually begin to respond to the insulin that we produce. Mm-hmm. That's the basic physiology. And it's not so far-fetched to assume that at some point, the insulin sensitivity would get so good that we no longer require the metformin or the glibiride or the insulin, our medications. Mm-hmm. So one of the examples is a patient, this is from a few years ago, patient had diabetes for 25 years. Mm-hmm. He'd been a diabetic patient for 25 years. He was taking 2,000, he was taking 1,000 metformin in the morning and 1,000 at night. And then during the day, he was taking two different types of diabetic medications besides metformin. So we did what we do with every patient, we do a detailed history, mm-hmm. a detailed physical examination. We do some investigation in terms of laboratory testing, and we try to identify some of the causal factors. So the idea would be that if we can address the causes of diabetes, then there would be no source for the diabetes. And so after our first meeting, we decide that we're going to prepare for that the patient is a good candidate, number one, for fasting, and that we prepare to do a relatively extended fast of 25 days. Now, I usually don't recommend that patients do a long fast for their first fast, simply because typically patients are not ready for that mentally. Mm-hmm. But this patient was very determined. He was seemed to be following my instructions because he lost about 20 pounds in the first 2 months. And so we prepared to do a fast of 25 days. Of course, within those first few months, we were able to decrease about half of his medication just from the lifestyle changes, mm-hmm. just from changing the diet, just from asking him to do some daily exercise and quit drinking wine every day. Mm-hmm. And he did that very well. So we were able to decrease almost all of his medication even before fasting. So he gets into the fast. He's about, I'd say he was about 170 pounds. We fast him for 25 days. He gets down to 145. Mm-hmm. So he loses about 25 pounds. That's what you can expect for water fasting. You lose about a pound a day, give or take. Mm-hmm. And then on day 26, we began our refeeding process with some fresh fruits and vegetables. Mm-hmm. Keep in mind, we're monitoring his blood sugar every morning and evening. And especially when we begin eating again, we take the sugar and fasting, and we take it after the meals to see the response. And it turns out that we don't have to add back in any medication.
Good.
Nothing. Mm-hmm. And he, as far as I know, last time I spoke to him was about a year ago, because we usually follow up with our patients. Mm-hmm. He's doing great. He hasn't used medication. And this is a 25-year diabetic. So this is somebody who was taking medication, mm-hmm. A fair amount of medication for 25 years, and is able to eliminate it completely, obtain extremely healthy, hemoglobin A1C, something like, 5.7, mm-hmm. An average blood glucose of about 100. So essentially you can't diagnose him with diabetes anymore. Mm-hmm. So if you take him to his same MD, of course, he's not going to see him anymore because the MD doesn't have any work, right? He doesn't have anything to do. He's actually good friends with his medical doctor, but doesn't have to see him anymore because he doesn't require a referral. He doesn't need anybody to check up on him. He can now manage his own health. Mm-hmm. And of course, the medical doctor thinks that it's some sort of miracle, or that he was incorrectly diagnosed beforehand.
They don't want to give you the credit.
No, of course not. I mean, certainly not to a chiropractic quack practicing water fasting. I mean, how could that possibly do anything beneficial besides kill anyone?
Nothing's really changed, huh?
Right. So the patient that we recently just posted, this patient was, let's see if I can remember correctly. She, like 6 months to a year ago, took a trip to the ER. She had to go to the ER because she felt terrible. Mm-hmm. And they took her blood sugar, and her blood sugar was 415.
Ooh.
Right. She might be dead, right?
Yeah.
She didn't die. They diagnosed her with diabetes. They also diagnosed her with heart failure. They did some heart tests, and her heart was not functioning as well as it should. And they diagnosed her with heart failure. They put her on a whole list of medications. And they also diagnosed her with chronic kidney disease, because her renal function was down to about 20%.
Ooh, okay.
Right. So it turns out that with all these medications and with the advanced sort of condition that she, the state that she was in, she was not a candidate to immediately bring her in to do a fast. Mm-hmm. So for about 3 months, we put her on a extremely detailed, I won't say restricted because I don't think it's restricted, but a disciplined dietary pattern. Mm-hmm. As well as make some changes in how she was living her life. We had her go to bed, do crazy things like go to bed on time, a minimal, moderate 10 minutes of walking every day, and take about 10 to 15 minutes to do some sort of prayer or meditation. And after about 3 months, we redid the laboratory tests. Her hemoglobin A1C before was, if I'm not incorrect, 11, which is extremely high. Normal is around five to six. Mm-hmm. I'd say four to six. And now her hemoglobin A1C is 5.7 or 5.8, which is completely normal. She was on insulin. She no longer takes insulin. Mm-hmm. And her kidney function is now, instead of 20%, it's now, I believe, 45%. So all her kidney levels improved. Mm-hmm. The glomerular filtration rate, her BUN, which is blood urea nitrogen, and her creatinine, they are all within normal ranges. Mm-hmm. So you can't actually say that she has chronic kidney disease anymore, because the laboratories don't, you can't see it. Mm-hmm. And that's because she's healthy enough where those diseases just don't exist anymore.
Now, we've been here the whole time. We have yet to mention the name of your facility.
Oh, right. Yes, you probably mentioned that.
Yeah.
So our facility is called Back to the Garden. Mm-hmm. It's Back to the Garden PR, as in Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. We have a residential facility is basically jammed next to our house. So the myself and Dr. Fry, my wife, we live in a house in beautiful, I don't know, you guys can't see out the windows because it messes with the light, but it's a beautiful farm out here. Mm-hmm. And the patients live in a sort of apartment that is right next to our house.
Okay.
We do everything for them. We check them twice a day. We do all the blood work. And we also cook all the food when they're done refeeding. So they get served by the doctors as well.
Now, do you have any MDs that are involved with you as well?
There we go.
You guys cook for them as they get ready to get reinitiated back to eating.
Yeah, we have we call it a realimentación, which means reintroduction of food. Mm-hmm. As you could imagine, after 20, well, even after 5, 10, 20, or 30 days without food, you're not really ready to return back to your, life 100%. It's going to mm-hmm. take some time for you to recover. And so we have a recovery program that lasts for about 4, 5, 6, 7 days, depending on how long the fast was. Mm-hmm. And we slowly reincorporate food, making sure that there are no problems with the patient's recovery after fasting.
They used to boil for us a tomato, put it in a pot and boil it. Then they peel it for you. You can eat the skin. They give you the tomato juice. That would be your first meal off.
Yeah.
So is that a good thing?
Getting rid of the skin on the tomato?
No. Peeling the skin off. They would boil the tomato, pull the skin off. And you'd have the tomato. You can have the skin. You get the pretty much got tomato soup, basically.
That's what you get. It's just mashed, peeled tomato.
Yeah.
The skin might cause a little bit of issues digesting if you don't have anything in your stomach.
Yeah. Okay. So they were right. Okay. They weren't wrong. They would peel it, and all you get was the tomato soup.
I'm sure they've had enough years in practice where they know not to leave the skin on a tomato.
Okay, good. So now give the name. Now, do you have a website?
We do have a website. Our website is backtothegardenpr.com.
Okay.
It is in Spanish.
Okay.
Well, you can go to what you do to get it. We're actually working on an English translation right now because we're seeing more patients that don't speak Spanish. Okay. You could just go to Google Translate and put the website in there, and it translates almost 100% to English.
Great, great, great.
Back to the gardenpr.com.
Good. Now, let's say people wanted to set up a meeting with you. You said you do some Zoom meetings or whatnot as first consultations. Would they go through the same website?
Yes. Overseas patients can see the instructions for separating a visit with me, mm-hmm. A first visit with me, or they can give the office a call. We have a secretary who also speaks English. She's extremely knowledgeable. She'll be able to set them up as well. I'll give you the number for that. The area code is 787-282-7865.
Hey guys, I want you to know that's going to be in the informational portion of this podcast. So if you could send me the link and the phone number of your location, I'm going to add that. So whenever they see it, they can just click the down box. If they're not writing it down, then click the down box and go right to where you are. Now, I got a question. Have you, when you're putting together the book, because this is some amazing stuff you got going on, man.
So right now, we already have 6 ebooks.
Okay.
Which are recipe books.
Okay.
There's a small amount of philosophy and theory in there, but they're mostly just to give people more of the tools that they need to adopt a more healthy eating habits on their own. So there's 6 different books that they can download. Of course, those are in Spanish. So you'd have to have them translated, or, you know, with food, it's not extremely difficult. If you know a little bit of Spanish, you could probably get by.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we're in the process of writing our first actual book.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But you know, that's a process. I can't promise that's going to be done anytime soon.
Yeah. I'm in the process of writing a book too. And I thought once you sit down and start jotting, you're like, you need more detail. You need more of this. So you go back, you reread. Then you never say it's right. Someone else says it's right, but you just keep going and at it. So I know it's not an overnight process.
Right. And I'm sure, you know, when you go back and read some of the stuff that you wrote, sometimes you're like, I don't understand any of this. You have to redo it.
So, yes, Dr. Ace, I thank you for spending time with us today here at Straight Talk No Chaser. I appreciate you. You tell your lovely wife, I said hello. We haven't seen you guys since we all left school, but you guys seem to be doing some amazing things.
Marcus, anytime you guys get a chance to come on down, give us a call. You got friends down here, all right?
All righty, man. I appreciate you. Have a great one. Thanks again. Enjoy the rest of your day, sir.
All right, Marcus. You take care.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This is a show where the spirit has control.
Straight Talk No Chaser.
So listen up close, get the medicine for your soul.
Straight Talk No Chaser.
Telling you the truth is what we here to do.
Straight Talk No Chaser.
So come get all the blessings of God for you.
Ooh.